Well, wow. What a great place this is. I'm so pleased to be here with you this morning. Your energy is so beautiful. And I want you to know that any minister that comes here and doesn't see this as their church home doesn't deserve to be here. This is a fabulous place. You have so many great things going for you. Your administration is so organized. And your music program is out of this world. You know that, right? Yeah. Your facility is beautiful. The energy is wonderful. Everything here is calling out to that right and perfect minister. And I know that that person is on their way to you. As Judy told you, I was in ministerial school with John. I actually met him a little before we began school, and he was in the class 1 year behind me, so we overlapped for a year. And you know how sometimes you meet somebody and you just know that they're a friend for life, and that's how I felt about John when I first met him. And fortunately, he felt that way about me as well. I want to share one story about John with you that I just adore. During my tenure in ministerial school, I needed to move up into the attic room in a little building on the Unity campus. And it was like three flights up and then a really narrow staircase to get up to my room. And I didn't think too well about what might fit up that stairwell and what wouldn't. And so I asked for volunteers, and my definition of a true friend is somebody who volunteers to help you move. And John was one of the people that stepped forward, and we were doing pretty well getting boxes up there and so forth. And then there was this armoire, sizable armoire, heavy armoire, that I used at the time as my desk. And for some reason, it hadn't occurred to me that that wouldn't make it all the way up all those steps and that my volunteers wouldn't be delighted to help with that. And so they started up the first set of stairs and struggled and struggled, and there were four people trying to carry this thing, and they got it up to the second floor, and they struggled up the second, and each set of stairs got narrower. Now, it would have been wise to measure the doorway before we brought it up the first two flights of stairs, but we didn't do that. So ultimately, the armoire became wedged in the stairway to the third floor. And one by one, the four people who'd been helping with it managed to disappear. Until finally, the only person left was John. Now, you know how perfectly turned out John always is. And so he was there in his very lovely, not at all moving clothes. And the mental picture I have of him is down on the floor at the bottom of the stairwell, underneath the armoire, going, "I know I can do this." We never did get that armoire up to the floor, but it stayed there on the second floor, and then fortunately I had professional movers when I moved out, and so that took it out of there forever. But I always, the first thing I picture when I think of John is him down on the floor sacrificing his polo shirt in order to try to get my armoire up to the third floor. Well, I am so pleased to be here and so pleased that you invited me. I want to talk about a new name for God. We Unity people, we know that words are important, right? We know that words are creative and that we create our reality with our thoughts and with our words. And so I think we pay a good attention to words. And the thing about the word God is it's always been with us. And it's what we have kind of wrapped our concept of God up in. But I think maybe that holds us back. I think maybe that trips us up a little bit. The first Sunday that I was, no, not the first Sunday, probably the fourth or fifth Sunday that I was a Unity minister, I declared something called Ask the Rev Week. And in Ask the Rev Week, people could write any question they wanted to on a 3x5 card and pass it forward. And I kind of like Johnny Carson back when he was Karnak the Magnificent, would take that question and turn it into some illuminated point. I had no idea what people would ask, and so I opened the first one, and it said, "Why do we have to call God, God?" Now, remember, I'm doing this in the moment, so I need an answer. And I said, well, I don't think we do need to call God God. In fact, in Unity, we have lots of names for God. We talk about Spirit and Creator and Mother, Father and Wisdom and Energy. We have lots of words that we use, but God is the old word for God that most of us grew up with. Here's what I think is a great idea. You know, the Yahwists way back in the Old Testament had a great idea, I think, for the name of God. They named God YHWH. No, I'm sorry, that's not right. YHWH. YHWH. Which was impossible to say. Which is perfect, because I think one of the things we do is we set God aside because we can say that word. Yeah, okay, we've got God in a bundle. But when you have to think about it without being able to say it, it's a whole different concept. So I kind of like the idea of having a name for God that you can't say. Remember when the rock star Prince decided that he was going to have a symbol instead of a name, and nobody knew what to call him except for the rock star formerly known as Prince. And after a while, people just started calling him a prince again. Well, that is the problem with a name you can't say, is people want to be able to say it. And so over the years, the Yahwists went to the Wheel of Fortune and bought a few vowels, and they plugged them in there. And that name for God became Yahweh, because we just somehow need to be able to say the name of God. One of my great heroes, Bishop John Shelby Spong, says in his book, A New Christianity for a New World, that we have to let go of our theistic God. We have to let go of our theistic God. And the first time I read that, I know just enough Latin to know that what he's saying is that we need to let go of our God, God. And I thought, that's weird, and I don't understand it. So I read on, and here's what he says we need in the way of a concept of God. The non-theistic God, the non-God God, is for all times. Supersedes the God of our ancestors, is neither Christian nor Buddhist nor Muslim nor Native American, yet it draws on the concepts from all of those traditions. The non-theistic God is not anthropomorphic, not in the image of us. You know what Mark Twain said? He said, God created us in his own image, and we've been returning the favor ever since. I love that thought. That this new non-theistic God is not whimsical, but principle. Not at war with science, but revealed by science. Not living in the heavens, behaving like Santa Claus. And still relevant in our lives in every moment. Well, for me, what that means is a personal concept of God, a personal understanding of the concept, the greatness, the overwhelmingness of God. I think all of us ought to have a couple paragraph statement of how we see God, which is not to say that that won't change over time, but to sit down with a pen and pencil and write, for me, God is, and not feel that we have to go back to what the Nicene Creed said or what we were taught as young children or what we think we're supposed to think, but really what for me God is. On the plane coming here, I was reading a book called Women, Food, and God. Some of you, I think, may be familiar with it. She was on Oprah, so that generally gets the word out. The author is Janine Roth. And she happens to have her personal statement of God here. And I want to read it to you because I really love it. She says, I don't believe in the God with a long white hair and x-ray vision that favors some people, some countries, some religions, and not others. I don't believe in the sky dweller, the knower of all things, the granter of prayers. But I do believe in the world beyond appearances, and that there is so much more that we can't see or touch or know just by looking. And I do believe, because I have experienced it again and again, that the world beyond appearances is as real as a chair, a dog, or a teapot. And I believe in love and beauty. I believe that every single person has something they find beautiful and that they truly love. The smell of their child's hair, the silence of the forest, their lover's crooked grin, their country, their religion, their family. I believe that if you follow this love all the way to its end. If you start with the thing that you find most beautiful and trace its perfume back to its essence, you will perceive an intangible presence, a swath of stillness that allows the thing you love to be visible, like the openness of the sky reveals the presence of the moon. I don't believe in the God that most people call God, but I do know that the only definition of God that makes any sense is one that uses this human life and its suffering, the very things we believe we need to hide or fix, as a path to the heart of love itself. Wow. That's what I think each of us needs to be able to say about God in our lives. I believe, and let that take place of any creeds that we may have spoken before. Now, it seems to me that if we're going to have this new concept of God, that we need a new name for God. Because the old name for God is laden with our old limited beliefs about God. As soon as I hear the word God, I think of that white-haired man. For me, he's always sitting in a rocking chair up in heaven. And he's keeping a list of who's naughty and nice. And that's just stowed away in the word God for me. We also deny the femininity of spirit with our old concept of God. We're limited by the analogy of God to a human being instead of understanding God as a boundless energy or property. And that old notion of God, and therefore the word that goes with it, holds all of our disappointments with God that we may have come across in life. All the times when God's church may have let us down. All the times when we prayed for something really important like a red bike and didn't get it. All of those things that we used to think were about God still reside in the old world God. And so it seemed to me that it's important to get a new name for God. And of course, I thought, who better than me to come up with it? Yeah. Had a couple of days where I wasn't doing anything else, and I thought, yeah, I should come up with a new name for God. I used to work in marketing. We used to name things all the time. So I figured that would be an easy thing to do. And I did what I normally do these days when I begin almost any project, and that is I Googled. Okay? I Googled because I can't believe how much information and inspiration there is out there in the whole Google universe. So I knew that we couldn't use theism or deism because those were already used. So I thought, well, I'm looking for a new name for God. Maybe we could use newism. Newism has already been taken. Then I thought, well, okay, I've always loved the concept of God as Gaia, the earth, the power and energy of nature. So I looked up Gaiaism, and wouldn't you know, somebody already has that one. And then I thought, well, gosh, what I'm really talking about is spirit here. So spiritism is gone. I thought, well, okay, let's add a vowel and make it spiritualism. Already taken. I was getting really frustrated. Then I thought, I think I'll look up ism. I mean, surely nobody's gotten to that point yet. Well, I was wrong. Ism is the title of the fourth album of the British rock group Godly and Cream. So we can't have it. Well, now I was getting frustrated, and I thought, okay, I need a new line of reasoning here. So I turned off Google, and I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go with what the car companies do, some combination of letters and numbers. That should work. Where shall I begin? And I thought, well, I'll start at the beginning of the alphabet and see if I can find anything there. So I began with A. A. And immediately, that was very appealing to me. I like A. A is the beginning. A is first. A is what I spent all that time trying to get when I was in school. The nice thing about A is it stands alone as a word, and yet it also gets mixed in with other letters to make words. Like three times it gets mixed in with letters to make the word Barbara, so it must be a good letter. And then I noticed that there's an openness, a searching quality about the word A. If I am looking for a house, I haven't closed down the possibilities yet. I'm looking at lots of options. Eventually, I find a house and choose it as the house, and now it's the house and it's closed down. It has boundaries around it and it becomes my house. So A has a searching openness about it that I associate with the spiritual journey that I really like. And so A is sounding better and better to me, especially when I think about words that begin with a letter A, like attitude and authenticity and awareness and agape. These are words that I really like. And so I'm feeling pretty good about the sound or the letter A. And then I thought about the sound that A makes, the ah sound, the ah sound. And I remembered something that I've known for a while, and that is that that sound, ah, appears in the names of most of the major world's religions' word for God. Allah, Krishna, Buddha, Brahma, Yahweh, Atman, God. The ah sound in all those names for God. It's always seemed quite mystical to me, and I don't believe in coincidences, so I think there's some reason for the ah sound to be there. And then I looked up ah in the dictionary. And the definition of ah that I really loved in the dictionary was that it's the sound used to express delight and relief. The sound used to express delight and relief. Try it with me. Ah. Doesn't that feel nice? Ah. For me, that's what God is. That's what spirit is the ah of letting go, of relaxing into, of expressing delight and relief. And then I remembered back from my days of teaching voice and articulation that the ah sound is the least tampered with sound in our vocal panoply. Of all the sounds we make, ah is the sound that doesn't make us use our lips or our tongue or our teeth or anything else. Ah is just the sound of our breath passing over our vocal cords. Try it. Ah. See how you didn't have to use anything in order to make that sound? It's just the natural sound of the expression of our breath. And since I often think of God as our breath, that really worked for me, the ah sound. It seems to me that the name for this new God, this new understanding of God, this timeless, boundless God, takes on an attitude rather than a name. It's not the name Ah so much as the attitude of Ah. If we approach our journey with the attitude of Ah, I believe God meets us in that place. So try it again. Ah. It's very difficult to say that sound without relaxing, I think. So Ah as a new name for a new understanding of God. It's about openness, it's about release, it's about relaxation, about trust, about realization, ah, about delight, ah. It is an easy, easy sound to make, just as letting God in. Experiencing God, becoming aware of God, is an easy, easy thing to do if we just remember. And so it's not a name, so much as a frame of mind that we maintain along the journey. Let's take that idea into meditation. So we come to the time in our service where we turn within. Take a deep breath of the sweet breath of God surrounds us and infills us and gives us life. And as you breathe out that breath and give it back to the universe, say, ah. We relax into the awe of Spirit. The amazement of Spirit. The delight of Spirit. The relaxation and release of Spirit. We give ourselves over to the awe experience. Say it with me. Awe. And again, awe. And we sink into that place within that knows who we are. That we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And not just human beings here for a Sunday morning spiritual experience. We allow ourselves to open to the presence of God in every atom of who we are. We become aware of our true nature. For we are beloved children of Spirit, whole and perfect in every way. And we move forward in that awe. Say it again. We relax into and trust. We let go and let God. We give up our need to control and cherish our need to just be. We let our fears fall away. We release any unforgiveness. We immerse ourselves in the awe experience, the experience of God's love. And we become one with, one with God, one with the universe, one with one another. And again, we relax into that truth by saying, ah. We release, we let go, we trust the presence of Spirit within to guide us, direct us, love us, and bring us to peace, bring us to joy and delight in the place of awe. And so, beautiful Spirit, we are so grateful. We're grateful for this gathering, for those who are here and those who are finding their way here. We're grateful for your presence, for your grace, and for your blessings in our lives. And so we say, Amen.